Welcome to the Voice of Destiny Show with your host, Dr. Daniel Hopp, where kingdom information and revelation is power to be, do, and have everything God has destined for you. For more information about Voice of Destiny or to order copies of today's show, visit our website at voiceofdestiny.org. That's voiceofdestiny.org. And become a fan on Facebook or follow us on Twitter under the name of The VOD Show.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. Welcome to the Voice of Destiny Show. Today is a great day because it's the day the Lord has made for you. Our message to you through the Voice of Destiny Show is to bring you the gospel of Jesus' kingdom culture so that you can be, do, and have everything that God has destined for you. And one of the things that God has destined for us is that we would have positive, covenant, redemptive relationships that are built on the God kind of love, the kind of love that seeks to give and not to receive, the kind of love that doesn't seek its own, the kind of love that does not fail. God wants this for each and every one of us so that we can be able to realize the true destiny that he has in store for us. And God uses the power of covenant relationships to make this happen for us. And we're having a conversation with Prophet Dorothy Daniel to discuss these important approaches that God has for relationships. God knows that being in relationships, it makes us more when we're together than we are by ourselves. This is why Proverbs 27:17 tells us that iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. And so we've been learning the importance of these principles, but there are also some techniques to make these relationships the best that God wants them to be. And so I've asked Prophet Dorothy to come and share your wisdom with us, Prophet Dorothy, about some of these important issues that come up in relationships and some of the strategies that God has given you from his word to help us to maximize these covenant connections that God has made for us.
Well, in relationship, we have to also realize that all of us have been through a lot, so there is a lot that God is doing in our lives to bring us into covenant, into a covenant relationship. And a covenant relationship doesn't mean that I'm always right or the other person is always right, but it's that I am willing to learn and to grow. You know, I recognize that person, God has a vision and a plan for that person's life and also for mine, and that he's connected us for that reason. God is always kingdom-minded, you know, as I can see. But God is always open and desires communication. You know, he's the one that said, come, let us reason together. And so we're always going to need someone. So I think you enter in with, into relationship that I need to be in relationship. But you enter in that in a healthy way. It needs to be a pure relationship. I need to be able to say yes, and I need to be able to say no in this relationship. But a lot of us, because of our rejection or our abandonment, it's harder for some of us to say no, even though we know it isn't the best fit. It's hard for us to say no because we're dealing with so many of our issues. So I think that you have to, first of all, recognize that you need to deal with your hurts and the things that have caused you pain in previous relationships, and how was God in that, and how can God help you fix that, because another person can't fix you.
Covenant relationships for me have always given me the shelter and the protection to celebrate my strengths, but to face up to my limitations and my weaknesses.
Exactly.
They've always given me a place where I can get mended, because a lot of times, and a lot of armies, and a lot of places in the body of Christ, we shoot our fellow soldiers, you know, when they're wounded. But God wants us to use the nature of our relationship, the covenant nature of our relationship, the commitment, the integrity of those relationships to keep us while we're going through those processes and to challenge us. And I think to do this, it does require an integrity on the part of those that are in these covenant relationships so that we can confront one another with true feelings and with our true values and our commitments, and not change who we are in Christ. I'm not talking about not growing, but not compromising the true self that we are, because in order to do that, we're going to have to be transparent. that I'm strong in this, I'm weak in this, and allow our covenant partners to actually build this up and communicate to us, because all of us need to have truth spoken to us, because sometimes we're blinded by the vanity of the mirror that we have about ourselves, the image that we have about ourselves. We need the integrity in the relationships that God wants us to have to speak the truth and love one another if we're going to grow. What's been your experience in this area of transparency and integrity, Prophet Daniels, concerning the friends and the covenant partners that God's given you?
First of all, you know, I had to recognize that, you know, I have limitations. Mm. And so, you know, in knowing that I have limitations and recognizing those limitations, I want help, but I don't want someone to carry me. You know, it's like you said, if one falls down, the other can help him up. If I fall, that probably has something to do with my limitations in that situation. Mm-hmm. But if the other person is meant to be in relationship with me, they're going to help me up. Now, I don't want to be a person that fall and just lay there and have to do nothing to get up. You know, you're going to be helping yourselves up. You're going to use your hands, your feet, whatever you have to get up. I'm not just counting on that person to carry me and I'm dead weight. That's not relationship.
Wow.
know, so it says, if you fall, one can help you up. Not that person has to carry you. They're going to help you. The thing, the word in relationship is help. You know, if I'm going to help the other person is going to help me. But, you know, I have been myself one of the people in the relationship that didn't want to get up. I remember a time of being depressed. You know, it's like this has happened and that has happened, you know, and I've had like some horrific things happen in my life, but you know what I know? God still expected me to recover. He expected me to get up. As bad as that was, he gave me, he said, there's a time to mourn, but he said, okay, now it's time to get up. He didn't say it was going to take forever. You can't take forever. In a relationship, your intention has to be to, I'm in this relationship to get better. So you got to be intentional about getting better.
And it takes integrity to be intentional. When you think about David and Jonathan, here it was, David and Jonathan had become covenant partners so much they were like brothers. But here it was, Jonathan's father had set a pledge to kill David, you know. And then Jonathan had to, like, well, how do I pick sides? Should I pick sides? You know, Saul is my dad, you know. And then, but David's like my brother, you know. What do I do about it? And Jonathan had to practice integrity with his father. And he had to practice integrity with David because he had a covenant love for both of them. And we find ourselves in those situations where we really have to find the integrity of God in situations when we're in covenant partnerships, because those relationships will be tested. They will be tried. And when we in those trying and testing periods of the relationship, that's when we need to really draw on the standard of God's love. What is the authentic application of God's love in this situation? These things are very, very important for us to capture and to realize. Let's take a break right here, and we'll come back, and let's continue to talk about...
I do not choose to be a common man. It is my right to be uncommon if I can. I seek opportunity, not security. I do not wish to be a kept citizen, humbled and dulled by having the state look after me. I desire to take the calculated risk, to dream and to build, to fail and to succeed.
YI Institute is an entrepreneur and leadership program for youth that teaches personal leadership, financial literacy, and entrepreneurship. Register your youth today at YICenter.com. That's YICenter.com. And your youth will learn how not to die in poverty, but to have poverty die in them.
Wow. Being uncommon in our relationships. It's very important that we understand that the Lord charges us to walk in the purposes and the plans that He has for us as individuals. But we got to keep integrity. We've got to keep integrity with God and how we're relating to one another, because the relationships that God's called us to are inventions of God. God has designed these relationships. And the God kind of relationships, when it's God, nobody can fake that, you know. When it's God, nobody can put those relationships together, orchestrate those relationships together like God, because covenant relationships, they have a fabric to them that causes maturity to be exercised, because the people in covenant relationships, they're not going to always be perfect with one another, but they're going to be in perfect love, and it's perfect love that casts out the fear that one has in relating and injecting the purposes and the plans of God. And so when we talk about the integrity of relationships, when we talk about the issues that come in the relationships, it's very important that we have an intent behind everything that we do, and that intent should be love. And so, Dorothy, in the relationships, sometimes things happen in our humanity that we actually offend one another. How is it that what are the best strategies to approaching offense in relationships that are designed to be lasting relationships? Sometimes people can get offended and say, well, I just chuck you to the curb. I don't have to be friends with you. But in covenant relationship, you have a sense of consciousness. This is something that's supposed to last. This is something that's supposed to endure in time. And it makes you have to work harder. So how do we put in the work to walk in forgiveness with one another when we've disappointed and we've sinned against one another?
In relationship, you're able to communicate. Well, and, you know, in Scripture it says that if you have aught against your brother has aught against you, you go to that brother, you know. And if we do that, then it doesn't become gossip. But we have to have mm-hmm. it be in relationship such in such a place of with God that we can go to that person and actually discuss that and expect, mm-hmm. you know, you have to have an my expectation is that it just depends on where that person is with their relationship with God, whether they're going to be able to forgive mm-hmm. me then or forgive me mm-hmm. or later, but I have to be mm-hmm. willing to give them time, and I have to own my part in it. And, you know, mm-hmm. am I mature enough to know that if that person has done something to me mm-hmm. to take into account that, you know, they weren't having a good day? All of that has to come into play when you, mean, if you are truly in a relationship. Because if that were not mm-hmm. so, Jesus and Peter wouldn't have mended mm-hmm. their relationship. Because, you know, Peter denied Jesus mm-hmm. at a time when Jesus needed him to step up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he didn't. And Peter needed to step up at that time, but he didn't. But the relationship remained intact because it wasn't that Peter was perfect, but we know Jesus was the perfect one to be in relationship with.
That's
and so
true.
The relationship was mended. So how are you to be in relationship with? Are you a person that mm-hmm. desires relationship, or are you a mm-hmm. person that just needs someone to hold you up? Or are you willing to hold the other person up as well? Is it a give-give situation?
Well, I found that you also really got to seek to understand
exactly.
and then to be understood. Because
right.
if you're trying to get somebody to understand me, you need to understand where I'm coming from. Before you tell where you're coming from, you're going to find yourself not being in a place to solve and resolve difficulties because of the fact that pride will get in the way. And I found that in order to seek to understand, I really need to not just hear, but I really need to learn to listen. You know, there's an old Indian proverb that says that God gave you two ears and one mouth. Which one do you think he wants you to use the most? And it really takes an art of listening to others in order for you to be able to figure out how you can turn this around to a win-win. Because Jesus understood something about the people he was in relationship with. They weren't perfect. That he needed to manage his expectations of them, because nobody's going to rise above what their strength and their and what their potential is. And so that we've got to begin to really seek to know them and to understand them and to be able to reach them where they're at. Because we all want to be judged by our our intentions, but nobody actually wants to be judged by their actual deeds. So in a relationship, when there is a difficulty going on, we really need to slow down and seek to understand why, where this person is coming from and what really made them happen. What, you know, what moved them and shaped them into this operation so that we can best relate to them and bring forth a resolution to the difficulties that we're facing.
We have to also realize that at the time we enter into relationship with that person, that God knows where you are and he knows where that person
mm-hmm.
is.
Yeah.
So if God said, if he says relationship, there's something there. You may not think the person has anything to offer, but God knows that there's something that you need in that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's you need to be understood or you need to be brought to a place to where you understand that everybody is not perfect, that people have limitations, and you have to be able to accept that in a person. So God has you in relationships for a reason. If he says be slow to speak, as you were saying, quick to listen, is why he gave you two ears and one mouth. He wants you to be slow to speak and quick to listen. But in all my relationships, there's one thing I pray is, I think it says in Psalms 19, I think 14, it says, God, let the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. You are my redeemer and my strength.
Mm.
That person that I'm going into relationship with is not my redeemer and not my strength. God is.
And I think that's deep. I think that's deep because it's not just your words, but what's in your heart. Words are actually cheap. They're easy to pass on. But what's in your heart makes a difference in how you're relating to one another. I mean, relationships are very important to how God has called us to execute purpose. When you think of Moses, Moses had his Joshua, okay? Joshua had Caleb, God puts these systems of relationships in place to achieve a unique purpose in our lives, and it's very important that we're able to learn the important skills that we need to have in this process. And one thing that I was thinking about too, Dorothy, is that a lot of times people change in relationships because they grow.
Mm-hmm.
People change.
Really, you want
because
them
they grow.
To.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. You are not there to stay in the same place. We go from glory to glory and faith to faith.
Mm-hmm.
When I say I go from glory to glory and faith to faith, I'm not looking back. He says a man that put his hands to the plow and looking back is not fit for the kingdom. That means I'm looking up. It means I'm looking to go higher and higher. I am looking to grow. I'm not looking to wither or to fade out or anything like that. So, in my relationships, I'm looking for that addition. What's going to cause me to grow? What's going to cause the other person to grow? And I think a good strategy for causing relationships to grow is meditation. As we're talking about, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. Meditation can cause you to either turn a situation around or make the situation worse. What do you think? Are you thinking on whether everything's a pure and lovely and be a good report, or are you thinking of how to get even? your meditation is going to turn that situation around. What are you meditating on? And believe me, relationships will cause you to meditate. If you're in a relationship and it's not causing you to meditate, somebody is not doing what they should do in that relationship and to make that relationship healthy, because a good relationship is going to cause you to meditate.
Wow. Because you provoke one another. When those two elements of iron coming together, there are going to be some sparks sometimes. And in those sparks, we begin to discover the true person that we are. I remember a friend of mine, Bob Yates, I had done something to offend him, and he was really upset with me, and he was sharing his heart and telling me, what he thought about what I did, whatever, and he was turning red, And I, in the middle of all of that, I thought, wow, we must be really friends, because in order for him to be free to express his true feelings, that meant that our relationship really had to be at a certain place. And I was telling my wife the other day, people that you don't care about can't hurt you. You know, it's only the people that you really love, you know, you can be, that can hurt you. And so when you recognize that you're being affected that way, you can pause and think and decide and not slide into how you're going to handle the nature of your response in that relationship, because this is a person that you really value. You care about this person. Because if you didn't care about them, what they just said to you wouldn't even matter. Let's take a break right here, and let's come back and continue to talk about powerful strategies that we can employ to realize our potential through these redemptive relationships that God has given each and every one of us. We'll be right back.
I do not choose to be a common man. It is my right to be uncommon if I can. I seek opportunity, not security. I do not wish to be a kept citizen, humbled and dulled by having the state look after me. I desire to take the calculated risk, to dream and to build, to fail and to succeed.
YI Institute is an entrepreneur and leadership program for youth that teaches personal leadership, financial literacy, and entrepreneurship. Register your youth today at yicenter.com. That's yicenter.com. And your youth will learn how not to die in poverty, but to have poverty die in them.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. If you've just tuned in, you've been listening to the Voice of Destiny show. I'm your host, Dr. Daniel Hobbs, and I'm talking with Prophet Dorothy Daniel concerning strategies for redemptive relationships to realize our potential in this atmosphere of the new year. And we've been talking about some important principles that we need to employ as kingdom citizens. Jesus knew that we would have conflict and that we would have difficulties in relationships because we were called and assembled and architect together to accomplish what God wants us to do together. And that process brings the best out of us, and sometimes it brings the worst out of us. So we must begin to really look at scriptures and kingdom principles about how we're going to relate to each other and respond and not react to each other in a negative way. And one of the most important skills for our relationship is the art of listening. Are you able to listen to that person empathically, to begin to seek to understand them, why they're wired that way, why they move this way, why they make decisions this way, why they rise early, why they are one that has to go to bed late. You know, when we understand those people and seek to understand what has shaped them and formed them, we have a better chance of relating to them in the way that God wants us to relate. Do the process or the way we were raised, the family of origin, have any effects on how we relate to other people?
It does. You know, as we're growing up, are we taught to value people or value things? And, you know, that's something that has to be taught, because as babies, we value things, you know, because we want food, we want clothing, we want shelter. And we see that person that provides those things as God. And I feel like God has set it up that way, but we have to be taught to value people. And, you know, as we come into relationship with God, we find God says, you take care of the relationship, and I'll take care of the things. I think that's what he's saying in Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. So I think your family of origin has everything to do with relationship. You know, how are you taught? Do you see those people in your life valuing people, or do you see them abusing people, abusing the relationship, taking advantage of the system? You're taught your values from your family of origin.
And this is something for us to consider. When we know that we came from a family of origin that healthy relationships skills were not modeled, we need to be intentional about getting the information and learning the skills of how to react and respond to people. Because like you were saying, sometimes people see in their relationship people as things that you take advantage of instead of people to actually value. I remember growing up, and my mother had such love for everybody, and she had such a liberal spirit. She always gave, and we never suffered lack. But as a kid, I didn't understand, why do you give people your last? You know, why do you forgive people so much, Mom? You know, you gotta watch out for yourself. And I didn't understand that my mother looked to God to protect her. She was a wise woman in how she dealt with people, but my mother had a way I'm treating people in a way from God's perspective of love that I didn't understand coming up as a kid. But as an adult, it really made me have the capacity to relate to people better the way God does. And one thing that I think that we need to realize is important to a relationship is that we love ourselves. Because we cannot love our neighbors better than we love ourselves. That's what Jesus said. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. If you love yourself horribly, you don't respect yourself personally, it's going to be hard for you to respect the other person that you're in covenant relationship with. And so this process, this principle of loving self, what has God showed you about taking care of the capacity and the value of self-love for yourself? Because it really does set the limit on how much you can love somebody else.
But God has shown me that you can change it regardless mm-hmm. of your family of origin. It's just as it was with Jonathan and his father, Saul. Mm-hmm. Saul did not have good value. He did not value mm-hmm. people. He valued things. But out of all of that growing up in that type of mm-hmm. an environment, Jonathan learned to value people. He learned to value relationships. So what God has shown me is that no matter where he puts you, that you can change. He can teach you. If you put first, you start seeking God, and God, when God shows himself to you, and it's no doubt God will show himself to every individual. If God says every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, that means that he will show himself, make himself available to everybody, and you have to choose. So it's like regardless of what your family does, if it's a good model or if it's a bad model, you still can be a God person. You can still have a good relationship.
Yeah, and you
got
to know
God has shown me.
And you got to know those people that you're in a relationship. You got to know how they relate, how they communicate. What is the language of love? I remember when I in my family, you know, if they like you, they'll Joan on you, okay? if my family of origin, if they don't like something you did, they don't hide it. They're very confrontational. They want to solve the problem with words. They want to confront it with words. I mean, and we didn't do a very good job of seasoning, you know, our words with thought. And I remember taking my wife to meet my family, and she was like, she really enjoyed, you know, the time with our family. She said, you know, Daniel, I understand you now, the way that you communicate and the way you relate sometime. But I don't want you to talk to me that way. I don't want you to be so confrontational. I want you to slow it up and season it up. Because if you come and say, well, how did my hair look? Oh, I think it looks ugly. You know, that's how it would happen in my family. But you can't say that to your wife when she done spent 20 hours getting her hair ready. You have to begin to season this sort and think about how would my wife want me to communicate? How would the people that I'm in relationship with want me to communicate to them to the end that I want to accomplish practicing covenant relations with them? And this is very important to us brothers and sisters, because God has not called us into this journey of destiny alone. It is a collaborative work. Two are better than one. God didn't God saw that it wasn't good just putting one in the garden. He knew that the other needed a companion that was of the same kind. And so these principles concerning covenant relationships are so very important for each and every one of us to walk in, because our destiny are tied to other people. You know, what God puts in us is not just for us, it's for someone else. And so when we consider these principles that God has revealed to us through his word, we have to do our work, brothers and sisters, to make sure that we're building God's kingdom through these redemptive relationships. Well, Prophet Dorothy, thank you again for coming to share the wisdom that God has put in your heart. There's so much that God wants to do with us, and I thank you for just making a deposit in us to help us to walk out what God has called you to and God has called us to do together. And I want to remind us, brothers and sisters, that today it is a great day, because this is the day the Lord has made for you. Voice of Destiny is available to you 24/7 on voiceofdestinyonline.com. That's voiceofdestinyonline.com. God bless you. Have a great one. And we're going to continue to walk in the King's principles. God bless.
You've been listening to the Voice of Destiny Show with your host, Pastor Daniel Huff. Remember, kingdom information and revelation is power to be, do, and have everything God has destined for you. For more information about Voice of Destiny or to order copies of today's program, visit voiceofdestiny.org. That's voiceofdestiny.org. And become a fan on Facebook or follow us at Twitter under the name of The VOD Show.